Rejoicing Him who rules today upon the heavenly throne, where saints their hearts they'll tribute pay and make their homage known.
No earthly king so great as He,
who rules all worlds in majesty.
Good morning, Oscoda and Thomas Arias. My name is Scott Busich, and I am the preacher for the Oscoda Church of Christ. I want to thank you for inviting me into your home this day and hope that you will enjoy your time with me as we search the Scriptures. You are invited to join us this morning for worship at 5726 Cedar Lake Road at 11 a.m. and then again at 6 p.m. There's also a Bible study on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and then another one Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. All of these services are broadcast live on Facebook, and you are welcome to join us there. Just like and follow the Oscoda Church of Christ. As an alternative, you're always welcome to call or text me, 989-305-2721. It's my phone number. Or send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. Join me now in opening our Bibles as we search the Scriptures. As a preacher, I read, listen to, and watch many different discussions, lessons, and sermons about our society. And one of the common refrains that I hear is this: when is God going to get tired of all the depraved conditions of our country or our world and destroy us like He did with Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, now, it's interesting because there's good in this sentence, for it has the inclusion of the complainer into that same society, meaning they don't exclude them from it. They don't distance themselves from being a part of that group. Additionally, it contains concern about despair over sin. Many in our society instead choose to ignore sin or to excuse sin or to decline to engage in discussions about sin. They'll say, it's not my problem, right? This concern by godly people is not new. Again, we could read the account of Abraham and Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. These godly men did what they could to try and save those towns. But I don't want to focus on that situation. Instead, we are going to read about a man who came much later, a man by the name of Habakkuk. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1, and listen to Habakkuk's despair over the sinfulness of his own countrymen. Habakkuk 1:1, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Doesn't that sound like society today? And doesn't Habakkuk sound like many Christians do today? Not only Christians, but even some of those who refuse to believe that there is a God, they say the same things. Where's God? If there's a God, why doesn't He do something? Especially about these extremely sinful people, these wicked people. Well, let's keep reading in Habakkuk. Let's see what God has to say for Himself. Staying in Habakkuk chapter 1, look at verse 5. Look among the nations and see. Wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are dreaded and fearsome. Their justice and dignity go forth from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. They all come for violence, all their faces forward. They gather captives like sand. At kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh. They laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and take it. Then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. Whoa. God knows just how bad the Chaldeans are, how wicked they are, and yet He is going to raise them up, meaning he's going to give them power. And then he, meaning God, is going to use them for his own purpose. What purpose is this? To punish those terrible, awful, bad sinners that Habakkuk was complaining about. That's what Habakkuk wanted, right? He wanted justice done to these people that he lived amongst. So let's see what Habakkuk has to say about this. Again, chapter 1, verse 12 of Habakkuk. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. You who are of purer eyes than to see evil and cannot look at wrong, why do you idly look at traitors and are silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? You make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings all of them up with a hook. He drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet, for by them he lives in luxury and his food is rich. Is he then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk, can you imagine it? This man, can you imagine arguing with God? And that's exactly what Habakkuk is doing. What's his complaint? It's this. You cannot use these evil men to do your work. These guys are worse than my people. These evil men, they're far worse than my fellow sinners, my Jews that I live amongst. You can't be serious about letting them judge us. That's not even fair. Now, that's Habakkuk's complaint to God. And so God has a response to him. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up and it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. He gathers for himself all nations and collects as his own all peoples. Shall not all these take up their taunt against him with scoffing and riddles for him and say, woe to him who heaps up what is not his own. For how long? And loads himself with pledges. Will not your debtors suddenly arise, and those awake who make you tremble? Then you will be spoil for them, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the peoples shall plunder you for the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. Woe to him who gets evil gain for his house, to set his nest on high, to be safe from the reach of harm. You have devised shame for your house by cutting off many peoples. You have forfeited your life, for the stone will cry out from the wall and the beam from the woodwork respond. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and founds a city on iniquity. Behold, is it not from the Lord of hosts that people labor merely for fire and nations weary themselves for nothing? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who makes his neighbors drink. You pour out your wrath and make them drunk in order to gaze at their nakedness. You will have your fill of shame instead of glory. Drink yourself and show your uncircumcision. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around you to you, and utter shame will come upon your glory. The violence done to Lebanon will overwhelm you, as will the destruction of the beasts that terrified them, for the blood of man and violence to the earth, to cities and all who dwell in them. What profit is an idol when its maker has shaped it, a metal image, a teacher of lies? For its maker trusts in his own creation when he makes speechless idols. Woe to him who says to a wooden thing, awake, to a silent one, arise. Can this teach? Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And there you have it. This is a rather unknown position of God, and yet God tells Habakkuk to write it plain so that all can easily know what this position is. Now, most Christians know what this position is, and yet they don't know how to voice it. This is what God says. God uses anyone for his purposes, but he holds all accountable for their actions, good or evil. Now again, we Christians, we know this. We just never say it. We know this because here's some examples. We know Christians know that God used, for example, God used Judas to achieve his purpose. God used Pontius Pilate to achieve his purpose. God used Satan to achieve his purpose. And he used many others to achieve his purposes. But that doesn't mean that those who God used are without guilt or that they're not responsible for their actions. So yes, Habakkuk, God is going to use the Chaldeans to punish his chosen people, the Jews. But those Chaldeans will likewise be punished for their actions. They do not get a free pass for what they are about to do. So what is Habakkuk's response? How does Habakkuk deal with this news that these bad guys who are worse than his people, whom he was complaining about, God says they will get their comeuppance. They will be punished as well. Habakkuk says, I want to skip a bit down to chapter 3 in verse 9 of Habakkuk. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. Selah. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I hear, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. That's Habakkuk's response. I know it's rather wordy, but again, what does he say here? And the answer is this. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. It doesn't matter if the rest of the world is ending, in essence. If there's no food coming, God is right, and I trust in him. Well, yeah, of course, Habakkuk. And yet, Habakkuk needed to be reminded of this. Remember how he started this. He started with a complaint that God doesn't do anything against all these people who engage in such sinful acts. And God's response was, I'm going to do something that you wouldn't believe if I didn't, unless I told you, right? Habakkuk needed to be reminded that God is in charge. And many people today, especially Christians, God is right. We need to be reminded of this. God is right, and he will use good and bad people to achieve his purposes, to achieve his plans. And that still holds true to this day. Even today, God will still use good and evil people to achieve his purposes. So today, what is God waiting for? Where are the Chaldeans that God is going to use? Is our society wicked and evil? Are there wicked and evil people in our society and around the world? And the answer is blatantly obvious, yes. All we have to do is open a newspaper or listen to the TV or the radio. all we have to do is to pay attention, and we can know that people are engaged in very sinful behavior. And it, what Chaldean is God going to use to punish them? And the answer, of course, is as for God to know, not us. What we need to know is this: God holds all of us accountable. Look at Acts with me, chapter 17 and verse 30, where Paul is speaking at the Areopagus, and he says this: "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all peoples everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." So there's a day of judgment coming. It's coming with the return of Christ, of Jesus. And we know that this day of judgment's coming, Paul says, because Jesus has been raised from the dead. And so we, every single one of us, is called to repentance. And those who refuse, they will be judged. They will be held to account for what they have done. What we Christians need to be concerned about is not what is God going to do about all these sinful people in our society. What we need to be concerned about is what purpose does God have for us? How does he want to use us for his purposes? Some Christians have wanted to be the judgment tool of God, meaning they want to be the Chaldeans, which is horrible. It's terrible. Is this the behavior that Jesus exhibited for us? Is this what we read in our New Testament on how Christians should act? Is there any instructions for us that tells us that we need to do these things towards those who engage in sinful behavior? I've chosen a few verses for us to read. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We Christians, we are called by Jesus to be salt and light in this flavorless, dark, sinful world. We're supposed to be the example. We're supposed to be the beacon on the hill that people look to for hope and for a future. And we're supposed to be showing people what godliness looks like, and love and hope, and that there's a future and there's a goodness and there's justice. Because our world is filled with all manner of evil and injustice and all sorts of despicable, wicked behaviors. The world doesn't need more of that. There's plenty of that. We Christians need to stand apart. We are the city on the hill. If we become like the rest of the world, if we lose our saltiness, if we lose our flavor, if we become mixed in with everybody else, can we become salty again? Jesus asks. You know we cannot. So, my fellow Christians, here's our instructions from God. There will be Chaldeans. God will call people to account. There will be Jews or Christians or non-Christians who will be held to account for their actions. We don't need to be Habakkuk. We don't need to be Chaldeans. You and I, we need to be salt and light. My fellow Christian, make it your goal. Be salt and light in this flavorless, dark world. I hope you've enjoyed our time in the scriptures today. I thank you for joining me. If I can pray for you, set up a personal Bible study, or help you in any way, please let me know. Again, my name is Scott Busich. I preach for the Oscoda Church of Christ at 5726 Cedar Lake Road, just north of the old Kmart in Oscoda. And I invite you to worship with us at 11 o'clock this morning. Or feel free to call or text me. My phone number is 989-305-2721. Feel free to send me a message on Facebook. Just look up the Oscoda Church of Christ. And as always, may God bless you as you go to worship this day.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see.
magnify thy